We're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 4, and if you pay attention, you find there's a sheet there that I left at your place. I passed these out earlier between the services, so I've got that. That is for you to keep. We're going to look at some of that today, but just something for you to think about and take and meditate on. In relation to these messages today. But we'll go ahead and do the same thing we did the first two services today. We're going to read the entire chapter, and then we're going to turn our attention to one particular part of it. So, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you would walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now, Father, thank you for the Word of God that we've read this third time. And I pray that each time we go through that, that people would see more and more. And Lord, I just pray you'd help me to be a blessing in the remainder of this time that we have today together. And I pray you'd use the Word of God in our hearts as we need it to be used. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we looked at this passage of Scripture, we started out with dealing with the idea of the fact that there's one Spirit, one faith, one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. one God and Father of all. And we talked about that. We talked about the idea of unity and where unity is supposed to be and what it comes from, and understanding that one Spirit, that one baptism, that one body, all those type of things. We kind of spent some time on that. And then we talked about what it was, and we also talked about the idea that being a Christian was our vocation. It was our life's work. It's the most important thing. It encompasses everything we may have to do in this life. So we talked about all that. And then we talked about the idea that God wants us to grow up and grow up, and that there's a measure for us to reach and attain to and strive for, and a goal, a measure, if you will. And there's also a measure of what we ourselves individually are supposed to become in God's will. And that the grace that was required and necessary to attain those two measures, if you will, to attain to those measures, is according to the measure of the grace. The grace is according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So there's plenty there, and hopefully you were encouraged there. And then finally, we want to get down to some of the mechanics of this idea. And there's a way that you do things. There's a method, I guess, if you will. If you want a method to accomplish this, obviously it requires a commitment from your heart, right? But it requires faith. But there's a method. There's something to be done in order to accomplish this. So if you look at verse 17, he says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." Okay, they're Gentiles, and he said, don't walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, by the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, what the world does is the world, and I will include this, the religious world. I will include this, the religious world, because so many people are in this idea of Christianity, and they want to feel something. And that's all they care about, is whether they feel something, right? And so that's why a lot of the worship and everything has gone away from the preaching of the Word of God and thinking and yielding yourself to God and allowing God to work through you and do that work, to having something that stirs us up and gets us excited and everything like that. And I'm not against getting stirred up or getting excited, but if that is the sum of your worship and that's what you got to have, you have a problem there. Because you know what it says about these Gentiles? They walk in the vanity of their mind. All right, they don't go beyond what they themselves think and experience and can comprehend. They don't seek to go further. All right, it used to be education was designed to do that, to get you to push, but it's not anymore. It's designed to get you to feel a certain way and think a certain way, and that's that. And you know, he talks about the men that we have to be careful of, that we shouldn't be children, in verse 14, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know, that's the one thing about it we know about men. Men are deceitful. Jeremiah told us about the heart of man. He says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And we know this of men, and all we have to do to know that is look in the mirror, because how many times have we been deceitful in our life? How many times have we tried to lead somebody to the wrong conclusion about something and knowingly doing so? Men are deceitful. And that's why if I were you, I wouldn't take my word for anything I preach. I'd study it out. I'd say, he's just a man. I need to study the Word of God. I need to make sure he's preaching truth. And I need to know. And I don't want to just take what he says and everything like that. I want to know. I want to study the Word of God. I want to know whether somebody's telling me the truth or not. But anyway, they are there, and it says that they have their understanding darkened. They're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance is in them, through the blindness of their heart. And then in verse 19 it says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Notice he says they're past feeling, but I just told you that all they care about is finding they function by feeling. Now, how do you reconcile that? That's very simple. When you take people, most people, they want to feel good. That's why people do drugs. That's why people drink. They want to go out and they want to feel good. They want to unwind. They want to feel good. Now, what they don't care about is what other people feel. In that regard, their past feeling. We don't care about anybody else's feeling, just my feeling. As long as I feel good, it's okay. As long as I'm happy, it's okay. And if I'm not happy, I don't care if anybody else is happy. I'm mad at other people that are happy. If I don't feel good, I'm mad at other people that feel good. But that's their past feeling. They don't care about other people's feelings. They don't care about their own. They don't care about how they feel. And that's the way they are. And so they give themselves over to what? Lasciviousness they work all uncleanness with greediness. They're greedy to get something. And he says, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now that's a big if. Once again, that goes back to the idea of, are you saved? Do you know for sure you're saved? You know, and if you think you're saved by who you are or what you've done or the organization you joined or the ceremonies you performed, then you're not saved. You're only saved by the shed blood of Christ. But that's why he says, if so be that you've heard him. And if you've heard Christ, if you're genuinely saved, if your trust and faith is in Christ, then why wouldn't you listen to him for everything else? If you could trust him to save you, why wouldn't we just trust him for everything? If you can trust him to keep you out of hell, why won't we trust him to keep us walking right? If you believe that he's the way to heaven, then why don't you follow him? I mean, think about it. It's just something to think about. It's a good question to ask of. But he said, you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And then he says in verse 22, he says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, here we get into the methodology, if you will. What we've learned from Christ is that we need to put off concerning the former conversation, our former lifestyle, the old man, the man, the person we grew up as, the idea, the desires, the wisdom, all of those things, the habits, all of that stuff is the old man. That everything you were before you were saved, that's the old man. And the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new, right? That's what the Scripture tells us. So the methodology is to put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now, I think that's kind of where we have a problem, because we like to hold on to it and say, it's not so bad. But that old man is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Well, I was better than those people. I wouldn't like them. You know what? That's just proof positive that the old man is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Because if you're comparing yourself to other people, trying to hold on to your past, you're just proving how corrupt it is. If you're trying to justify the person you were before you got saved to God so you can hang on to it, then guess what? You're just proving how corrupt and deceitful it is. Because God said it wasn't good. God said you were a sinner deserving of hell, and that life you were living, that self-righteous, whether it was self-righteousness or any other wickedness you were involved in, was wicked and wrong and corrupt, and you deserved to go to hell for all eternity. but we want to hold on to it. We want to make excuses for it. Well, my daddy taught me. Well, your daddy may have taught you some good things, or your mama may have taught you some good things, or grandma or grandpa may have taught you some good things, but they taught you a lot of wicked things too. And if they taught you the good things without God, then anything that's without God is not good, because whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin. Right? I'm trying to see what I'm trying to get here with the idea that God has to be at the forefront of this. Our relationship with Christ as a Christian has to be at the forefront of everything we do. Everything we did, whether it was considered right or wrong before, it now needs to be done in the light of our relationship with God, not based upon the attitudes of old. It's not based upon what mama or daddy or anybody else taught me. I'm thankful for every good thing my dad, my grandma and grandpa taught me. I don't know what mama taught me because I didn't know her. But the point like is, so far as I know, she didn't teach me anything. But the simple fact is, whatever good I have, that was the gift of God during that time to help me understand right or wrong. But once I got to that time, I don't look at right or wrong the same way that I did when I was back there. It's different now. It's better, by the way. People talk about heaven all the time, and we hold on to that. We want that. Are we going to know our loved ones in heaven? Well, sure you will. But it's not going to be husband, wife, son, daughter, grandma, grandpa, any of that type of stuff. I want to be able to see my husband again. Well, you'll see him if he's saved. But he's not going to be your husband, because in heaven they're either marrying or giving in marriage. Right? They don't have that relationship. They have a better relationship. Right? Because that's how much we want to hold on to the old things. That's why marriage is not for all eternity. It's for death do us part. Why? Have you ever thought of why that is there? Why is it till death do us part? It's till death do us part, not so that you can have an excuse to remarry. It's till death do us part so that you understand that this is a temporary relationship. It's not going to continue on forever. All the things of this earth are temporal. And we do the same thing with our attitudes about things. We want to hold on to the old man as if somehow the old ways, as if somehow their ways were better than God's ways. And that's not true. That's not true. And so, as you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, I may do the same thing that I did when I was lost, but before I did it out of love for my wife, out of respect for my father, out of fear of my father, or out of love for my children, or out of love for myself. Now, what I'm supposed to do, out of love for God. Right? That's a total different thing there. I love my wife in order to love God. Because God was the one that gave me the commandment. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Right? He's the one that gave me that commandment. And I could go on, I could take that to anything that is there. I do all these things because of my relationship with Christ. And he said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Don't think the old way, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let the spirit of your mind be renewed. Change the way you think about things to a godly way. Think about things the way God says you should think about it. Not the way you've always thought about it, but the way you think about it. Put that off. And now, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You see, I did a lot of wickedness before I was saved. But I also did a lot of good too. But all those righteousnesses were as what? Filthy rags. Right? But then I got saved. And I trusted Christ as my Savior. And now my righteousness is by the faith of Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. My righteousness is by Him. It's for Him. Everything I do is for Him, out of faith toward Him. And I may do the same thing, but it's not no longer dead works, it's good works. And so here we are. I'm looking at this and I want to put on the new man, which is created in God, which after God has created righteousness and true holiness, not false holiness, true holiness. Put off, put on. Put off the old man, put on the new man. I got up this morning and I put on this jacket. I have several jackets in my closet. And I came up and I looked at the jackets that I had. I looked at this one and I said, they don't match. And I looked at this one and said, it needs to be pressed. And I looked at this one and said, it needs to be cleaned. And I looked at my jackets and I made the decision to put this jacket on. Did the same thing with my tie. Did the same thing with my shirt. Did the same thing with my breeches. I even did the same thing with my underwear. Right? Now I know that's TMI, too much information. But everything that I put on today, I made a decision to put it on. And that is the starting point of the methodology. You have to make a decision. Why am I going to do what I'm going to do today? My goal today was to get dressed and come to church. And I had to look at what I had available to me and make the best decision based upon what that goal was. And if my goal is to live for God, then I have to make a decision about how to accomplish that. And God tells me how to do that. He says you have to put on the new man, put off the old man, put on the new man. And He tells me how to do that. And He shows me, He gives me examples. In verse 25, He says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry, sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And He talks about not grieving the Holy Spirit of God and putting away bitterness, wrath, and clamor and evil speaking and malice to be put away from you, and be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There's a different way of living here, isn't there? There's a different attitude. There's a different desire. Put it off, put on. If we read through the Bible, and these are just a few things on the sheet of paper I gave you, Colossians 3:8, but now you all put off, we just read that, but now you all put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Colossians 2:11, in whom you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Ephesians 4:25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Hebrews 12:1, wherefore seeing as we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight in the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. James 1:21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. And then 1 Peter chapter 2 in verses 1 and 2, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. There's a whole idea there of putting one thing aside and picking up another. Putting one thing off and putting on another. There's that whole picture. And then we look at the put on side, Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Job said in chapter 29, verse 14 of that book, he said, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. And my judgment was a robe and a diadem. He talked about that. Isaiah 52:1, God calling out to Israel says, Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. We're getting rid of that. You put on the beautiful garments. Romans 13:12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Galatians 3:27, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And then Colossians chapter 3, verses 10 to 14, and have put on the new man, which was renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. God says, take those things that are from the past and put them off. And grab hold of the things that are from the future, that are for the future. You know, I have dealt with a lot of things in my past. I've dealt with abuse. I have dealt with, I'm talking about people toward me. I've dealt with abuse. I've dealt with all manner of wickedness that people have plotted and sometimes practiced against me. And I've seen things that have happened. And it still goes on today. I see, have times where people have ill intent and I've been lied about. I've been betrayed. I mean, I could go down to the different things that you could talk about in a life. And you know that there are some people who that former life, it doesn't matter what you tell them, that's all they can see. That's all they hold on to. They can only look at what happened. They can never look ahead. They can't look to what the truth is now. They can't leave that behind because they allow that to dominate everything about them. Whether it be abuse. Part of what we do with Mending Broken Spirits, the idea is to get these people, because a lot of these people that are in jail, they've been abused. And they've been mistreated. I mean, there's sexual abuse, there's trauma, there's all kind of things that they've had to deal with. And it's ruined their life, but what we're trying to teach them is it doesn't have to ruin your life. And I know by experience it doesn't have to ruin your life, but that there are people that allow it to ruin their life that name the name of Christ. What happened in the past? Well, you know, you don't know what happened to me. I don't really need to know what happened to you. And I'm not trying to be flippant. I'm trying to say we serve a God that is able to deal with that, that's able to help you get past that, to get the victory over. You know, I could talk about child abuse and all the different things that I may have suffered at different times in my life from different people, and I may talk about I could talk about all that, and I could tell you stories that would curl your hair of things that had been done to me or people close to me, things that I know have happened to other people in my family, and things that have happened. I mean, I wish I'd have been raised up in a good Christian environment, but I wasn't. And many, many people in this world are not. Most are not. And a lot of people have a pretty good life, but there's some people that just have a horrible life, things that are going on to them. I mean, what do you think that's going on to these people that are being brought across the border? These women, these children, a lot of them being sold into slavery. You know, we call it, quote, human trafficking. You know what human trafficking is? Slavery. All right? And they're having to deal with that, and we have the answer both for the slaver and the one that was a slave. We actually have the answer. And it's an answer for them. But while you're saying amen, preacher, make sure you remember it's an answer for you too. The past does not have to dominate. What do you think about the Apostle Paul's fast? What do you think about the guilt he had? How many people died because of him? And died for no other reason than they believed in the Jesus that he now believed in. That kind of guilt could cripple a man. Or he could believe God and go on and become something that's greater by the grace and power of God. He could put that off. No wonder he said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I'm the least of all the apostles. I'm not meet to be an apostle. I'm not fit. I don't deserve to be an apostle. He said, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I'm the worst of the lot. But then he said another time, by the grace of God I am what I am. By the grace of God I am what I am. Oh, I want that to be my testimony. By the grace of God I am what I am. Because if the grace of God is why you are what you are, then guess what? You're going to be all right. You're going to be on your way to measuring up and being conformed to the image of God's dear Son. You're going to be on your way to being measured up and being that part in the body of Christ that fits like you're supposed to, like God intended. But we got to learn to put off the old man and put on the new. There's literally hundreds of verses that talk about putting something off, laying something aside that we don't need, putting something on that we do need. And I just gave you these as something to just think on during the week. And I'm going to leave you right there, but where are you? Are you still putting on any part of what was before that you know and by God tells you it's corrupt according to deceitful lust? Are you still living your life just based upon this is the way I've always done it, I've always lived, this is the way mama taught me, this is the way daddy taught me, and this is the way this, and you're not living your life the way God taught you to live? If you are, then there's some things you need to put off, aren't there? And there's some things you need to put on. You need to start applying that methodology. You need to first of all make a decision. I'm going to live for God. This is my purpose. This is my goal. This is what I'm here for. I'm going to live for the Lord. It, like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, right? Maybe that's what you need to do. You need to make a stand. You need to make a decision. And then you need to begin to put things off and put things on. Put off the old man, put on the new. Put off that which is deceitful according to was corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and put on that which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll close the service today. Father, thank you for your love and your kindness. I just pray, Lord, if there's one that's lost, we pray for their salvation. But Father, above all, I pray that those that are saved, we would learn to just put off that which is old, that which is corrupt, that which is deceitful, that which is our past. And Lord, while there may be things from our past that were right, that we would do those things now, not just because of the way we did them before, but do those things unto Christ. That whatsoever we would do whatsoever we did in word or deed, we would do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to your glory. Help us, Lord, to put off that old man and put on the new. Help us to see where we failed to do that, and help us to believe that we can indeed put on that new man. Help us, Father, we pray. Now, Lord, I pray you'd bless as we close the service. And you know the need in every heart. So I pray you'd help us to deal with what you showed us today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.